06-2407, Pastor Grebes against the Attorney General. Mr. Davis.
Thank you. May it please the Court. Your Honors, the Board of Immigration Appeals abused its discretion when it denied Ms. Werku's motion to reopen, and I'd like to discuss three ways in which it did so. First, the Board held that there were no changed conditions in Ethiopia. Without so much as a mention or any analysis of a changed country conditions report in the State Department.
Mr. Davis, if I may suggest the microphone before you record your voice, but it doesn't amplify it very well, so if you could increase your volume a bit, I think we'd all be grateful.
Absolutely. As I said, the Board held that there were no changed conditions in Ethiopia, despite a country conditions report and other evidence which clearly demonstrates these changed conditions. And second, the Board failed to consider, let alone mention, two claims of Ms. Werku's that specifically rely on this country conditions evidence, namely a Convention Against Torture claim and a pattern and practice claim. And third, although Ms. Werku presented significant evidence demonstrating that, based on these changed conditions, she now has a well-founded fear of persecution, the Board failed to mention or analyze the substance of these facts and instead summarily denied her motion on improper procedural grounds. Now, as to the changed conditions, there has been a significant deterioration in the political climate in Ethiopia since May 2005. And as this Court recently recognized in the Kibi decision, the State Department has detailed this change. Before May 2005, political opposition members could protest against the government. The political opposition was a part of the political process. And indeed, the election and the run-up to the election cycle was deemed to be commendable and credible. Following the opposition's strong showing in that election, of course, the State Department notes that there was a severe crackdown on opposition members, with opposition members being killed, detained, and arrested by the thousands. Now, of course, this is very much like Kibi, where another Ethiopian asylum seeker filed a motion to reopen based on these same changed circumstances in Ethiopia. And as here, the Board of Immigration Appeals failed to mention any of the evidence that established these changed conditions, and second, summarily concluded that there were no changed circumstances. And of course, in Kibi, this Court held that the failure of the Board to articulate any reasons as to why this significant evidence failed to demonstrate changed conditions in Ethiopia was an abuse of discretion. Now, of course, we filed the 28J letter, since Kibi just came down in mid-January. We filed that with this Court and with the opposition in, I believe, on January 31st, and they haven't filed a response to our 28J letter. Thus, the government has never explained why Kibi wouldn't control here and why these facts do not demonstrate changed circumstances. And we believe that is because there is really no reasonable explanation as to why there are no changed circumstances in this case. So based on the Kibi decision alone, the Board should be required to reconsider this matter. But, of course, there's more here. Of course, Ms. Werku's motion to reopen contains two claims which specifically rely on country conditions evidence, even apart from her own personal evidence. And that would be the pattern and practice claim, which, of course, is based on a systematic or pervasive effort by a government to imprison, torture, and kill, in this case, the political opposition. And, for instance, in the Lansom case, this Court specifically noted that when you have a country conditions report that details facts that are relevant to a country condition, that are relevant to, say, a political claim such as this, the failure to even mention that country report calls into consideration whether the Board even considered the claim in the first place. The same with respect to the CAT claim. Of course, the CAT claim, part of the proof in that is you can show mass, flagrant violations of human rights. And as this Court held in the K decision, a motion to reopen, which has a CAT claim attached to it, is distinct from an asylum claim and deserves independent substantive consideration. Of course, here the Board of Immigration Appeals didn't even mention it in its brief opinion. And finally, with respect to the specific evidence here, this Court held in Fesehe that when you're dealing with paper submissions, which is how this was determined before the Board is supposed to look at the new evidence and determine whether, if those facts were proven, whether there would be a prima facie case of further relief sought, in this case asylum, withholding of removal, and CAT. And here, of course, Ms. Werku did do that. She put into the record that after the following these changed circumstances. Of course, she has organized and has helped protest against the Ethiopian regime, particularly against the vote fraud and the crackdown on the opposition that has happened since the May 2005 elections. More significantly, her brother, in November 2005, was arrested and detained and is being held incommunicado by the Ethiopian government, something which is fully corroborated, of course, in the country conditions report, which demonstrates that 10 to 18,000 political opposition members in the capital, where Ms. Werku is from and where her family resides, were taken in that very month. So this evidence clearly would demonstrate that she has a reasonable fear that she's returned to Ethiopia, given her own opposition to the government, given the fact that her family has already been targeted, and given other evidence that she submitted that her family home is indeed under surveillance.
Now, this is both, you're mainly focusing on the post-crackdown, after the election, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. The evidence that she submitted with her motion to reopen, the new facts, all relate to these changed circumstances and what came after.
Because there were a lot of problems before that with her family, at least. Her father, yeah. Her husband.
Indeed. Her original claim, original claim did rely on, was a claim that based on her membership in a group, the AAPO, that she had suffered past persecution. And the original asylum claim did find that was not credible, and it did involve her father. But of course, as this court suggested in Mansour, when you have two separate claims, two separate theories, and there's reason to give them individual consideration. I believe, in this situation, this motion to reopen is based on a change in circumstances. There have been, her new facts do not rely on her membership in the AAPO. Indeed, the AAPO stopped being persecuted, according to the State Department, sometime in 2003. I believe we cite an Eighth Circuit case which cites these records. There was a liberalization in Ethiopia leading up to these 2005 elections, and that also is demonstrated in the state country conditions report. So the fact that there is a past adverse credibility claim with respect to a completely different factual predicate really should have no bearing here. As the Guo case in the Third Circuit, he called this the bad faith theory of immigration law, that essentially the government's theory is that, well, if she had a past, if she was found incredible on one claim in the past, well, then no matter what claim she brings in the future, we can just use that adverse credibility judgment to deny her claim summarily. And, of course, the Third Circuit rejected that outright. The Second Circuit has rejected that. I'm sorry? And in Mansour, it suggested, again, that that would be rejected. Of course, there is a specific statutory requirement that the immigration judge find an original petition to be frivolous, and in that case, an alien can no longer claim relief. But absent that, the board should not be able to use this past credibility judgment to basically get around the frivolousness requirement and just summarily deny motions to reopen based on new evidence.
Is the reason she's going to be focused on, you think, she fears future persecution based on her activities in this country? Is that something that's projected over there?
Well, Your Honor, there is evidence in the record that demonstrates that exiles do have the, even if she wasn't actually a political opponent, which there is evidence in the record that she has demonstrated, the government does suspect that exiles do not support the government. The record indicates that several members of Voice of America who have long been absent from Ethiopia have been tried in absentia for treason because they, in the Voice of America broadcast, apparently said that what the Prime Minister in Ethiopia was doing was a violation of human rights. So the fact that she protested in this country is clearly going to be relevant, particularly given her family situation. The government already knows that her brother is a member of this opposition. He's already being detained, and the home is under surveillance. So her opposition here is going to be relevant if she has returned to Ethiopia. Of course,
you wouldn't go as far as say is everybody from Ethiopia that's over here is protected, can fear, legitimately fear future persecution just because of their, whatever you call it, absence.
Just because, well, that would be a different question, but I don't, obviously we have much more on the record here. The mere fact that someone is absent may or may not reach that level, but when you add in the fact that there is vocal opposition, and the vocal opposition is who's been targeted, rank and file and leaders alike in Ethiopia, and given the other factors, the family relationships and so forth, there's no need to reach that issue of whether exile status alone would matter. Of course, these substantive questions are really besides the point, since the board failed to even address these claims in the first instance, and failing its duty to do so. But, of course, Your Honor, if this came back to this court after a proper analysis by the court, we believe that substantial evidence would establish a prima facie case, yes. If there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Thank you. Now for Mr. Saitlin.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Benjamin Zeitlin on behalf of the respondent, the Attorney General of the United States. The Court should dismiss this petition for review because the Board acted within its broad discretion when it denied the petitioner's motion to reopen. The Board issued a reasonable and rational explanation after a complete review of the record and found that the petitioner failed to establish changed country circumstances or a prima facie case warranting relief. The history of these proceedings reveal that the petitioner has had a full and fair opportunity to be heard. These proceedings initially commenced in January 2001 when the petitioner applied for asylum based on her Amharan ethnicity and her membership in the AAPO. The immigration judge found the petitioner to be not credible, and this decision was affirmed and adopted by the board. After failing to appeal the initial decision to this court, the petitioner filed her first motion to reopen based on her marriage to a U.S. citizen. This motion was denied by the board, and again the petitioner failed to petition this court. Petitioner now seeks review of the court's second untimely motion based on her changed circumstances in Ethiopia, a motion which the board in its broad discretion denied. This second motion to reopen purported to introduce material evidence of adverse country conditions taking place in Ethiopia after November 26, 2005. In support of her motion, petitioner submitted, among other documents, her own affidavit, two letters from her brother in Ethiopia, news articles, and the 2005 State Department report. After a review of the evidence, the Board of Immigration Appeals determined that the petitioner failed to satisfy her burden to merit a reopening of her asylum proceedings. The Board reasonably denied the motion and found that the evidence submitted did not warrant a finding of changed circumstances.
That included the country report?
That is correct, Your Honor.
She didn't carry a burden?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So is it apparently their position that there was no changed circumstance?
Well, the Board has broad discretion in determining whether or not changed circumstances arose under the statute. The board in their decision specifically notes that it had reviewed all of the evidence and stated therefore that it was their belief that the petitioner had not satisfied her required burden. Additionally, the board
I understand that, but didn't we have an opinion recently that your opposing counsel referred to?
Your Honor, I believe that the Kibi decision is certainly distinguishable from the case at hand. The first matter in the Kibi decision is that this court held that the most important factor was that Kibi testified credibly before the immigration judge. And because of that credible testimony, the court found that he specifically would be subject to persecution if he were to have to go back to Ethiopia. Second of all, to distinguish the Kibi case, Kibi was a member of a group called the OLF, and the OLF is a specific group that calls for the violent overthrow of the government in Ethiopia. Petitioner, in this instance, does not claim to be a member of that group, nor to be a member of any political group that is currently being harassed by the government in Ethiopia.
What about the issue concerning the country report?
Your Honor, respectfully, Your Honor, it is the government's contention that the board did analyze all of the evidence before it. The country report does not specifically mention the AAPO, which petitioner claims to be a member of. And although the CUD is mentioned, that is a group that her brothers are members of and has no relation to her own standing within Ethiopia.
She tries to frame that in just any opposition. That just happens to be the umbrella that the opposition uses now, her opposition would blend in with that.
Well, in fact, Your Honor, from a review of, which is not in the brief, but from a review of the political parties in Ethiopia, the CUD does not contain the political party, the AAPO, which petitioner claims to be a member of, is not within the CUD. It is a part of a separate political coalition. Therefore, to say that her membership in the AAPO now constitutes a membership in the CUD, I believe would be an inaccurate characterization of the political climate. Additionally, Your Honors, the board had found that the petitioner had not established a prima facie case of eligibility for asylum. Petitioner's evidence, including unsworn and unauthenticated letters from her brother in Ethiopia, were insufficient to change the original denial of the application, particularly in light of the fact that the denial was based on an adverse credibility determination, which focused primarily on the submission of documents that were found to be incredible. Therefore, the board did not abuse its discretion in finding that the petitioner failed to establish changed country circumstances. The court in Mabase v. Gonzalez found that changed country circumstances had not been established when the government and the oppressive climate it engenders is the same today as when the alien left her home country. Similar to this case, Ethiopia's leaders are the same today as they were in 2000, even though elections did take place. Therefore, as the circumstances in Ethiopia are not materially different from the original disposition of the petitioner's application, the board acted within its discretion in finding that circumstances had not sufficiently changed. Even assuming arguendo that changed circumstances were established, the petitioner did not establish prima facie eligibility for asylum. Petitioner argued that the Amharan people were targeted regardless of politics. However, the evidence cited by the petitioner reveals that the Ethiopian government was not targeting Amharan people. The State Department's report specifically states that there was no evidence that Ethiopia would harm or harass the Amharan supporters of the AAPO. Therefore, petitioner has failed to establish an objective fear of future persecution. The petitioner has also failed to establish a subjective fear of future persecution based on her alleged imputed political opinion or her time in the United States. In regard to her imputed political opinion claim, the evidence submitted in support of her motion suggested that her brothers may be threatened because of their membership in the CUD. As discussed earlier, petitioner does not concede to be a member of the CUD and fails to state any further evidence of how her brothers' political opinions could be imputed to her. Petitioner also argues that she will be targeted on her return to Ethiopia because the government will suspect she is a political dissident. This claim, however, is not supported by the State Department, which does not detail any evidence of persecution against repatriates. Therefore, as the board acted within its broad discretion by issuing a reasoned and internally consistent opinion in denying the motion to reopen, this petition for review should be dismissed. If there are no further questions, I have completed my argument.
Thank you, Mr. Zeitlich. How much time does Mr. Davis have? Sir, you have 1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just like to quickly address a few points. First, the AAPO claim was the basis of the past persecution. She is no longer claiming that her membership in the AAPO subjects her to persecution. Rather, the other factors, her brother, her current opposition, and it is opposition, not group membership, which is key here. Second, most of what the argument here on these, the Amhara ethnicity and all these, there's a chainery problem here, of course, because the board did not rely on any of these specific, fact-specific reasons in its decision, and these are thus improper for this court to consider. Had the board actually considered these claims, then perhaps those would be before the court, but they are not before the court now and should not be considered. And finally, the respondent stated that, well, the board has said that it read the evidence and it issued an opinion. Well, as this court's opinion has made clear, the board is not allowed to keep its reasoning secret from this court or from the alien, and indeed gave no reasons for why there was no country conditions change here and why there were no prima facie, why there's not a prima facie case made out on this evidence. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, you took this case, if I recall, by appointment of the court, did you not? I see. We thank you for your efforts, as we do for the government counsel as well.